We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Takes the snap. He'll keep it. Running left side. Dives, and he's tripped up shy of the goal line. It's over.
Seattle made a good play.
It was a great play by them.
Dale Arnold.
They played the damsel in distress and said, come save me, and they gave the ball to Cam. The New England Patriots are going to be all right because Superman has returned.
Rich Key.
My heart's heavy, you know, because one of my teammates, James White, you know, from Wisconsin, had a tough one, you know, losing his dad. I'm not sure what the situation with his mom yet, but my heart's been heavy all day.
You stay classy.
Dalen Keefe with Fitzy.
Marcus Martin.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dalen Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Our buddy Nick Fitzy Stevens is in the house with us. And I guess the question I have for you guys is, to quote that great wrestling mind, have we all gone soft around here? Because I can honestly say that in 20 years of the Tom Brady era, I don't remember a quote-unquote good loss.
I do. I can name several for you right off the
bat. Okay, go ahead.
2001, Sunday Night Football, lose to the Los Angeles Rams. The St. Louis Rams. 24.
Greatest show on turf.
That's right. 24-17. Mike Martz. Great loss.
Yeah.
Because Mike Martz tells his team at the half. These are all Belichick era losses, by the way, Dale.
Right.
Mike Martz tells his team afterwards, that's a damn good football team. We'll see them again. They did.
They sure did.
Next time, script
sure
got
did.
Flipped. How about in 2012, also a sniff Sunday Night Football game, red-hot Colin Kaepernick comes to Foxborough with King Crabtree and company. They go up to a 31-7 lead in the Harbaugh days. Tom Brady with Michael Manawanui, Wes Weckler, and Danny Woodhead stage an epic 24-point comeback, 31-31. They do lose 38-31, but the comeback ability of that team proved shiny and fabulous. 2006.
I like the first example more than the second so
okay.
far.
Two more. 2016, regular season Sunday Night Football loss following the election. Tumultuous times for all Patriots
sure
fans
was.
In Pats and actual nation. They lose on a last second play that Gronk, they went corner fade to Gronk in the end zone. He got dragged down, no call. Obviously, they could keep up with Seattle. They go on to win a Super Bowl. And that very same season, a Sunday game against the Packers. It was a 4 o'clock game. You had Hello Friends on the call for CBS. They lose 28-21, but again, that team proved that they could hang with any lumber in the NFC. Those are four that jumped to mind right off the bat, Dale.
See, the 2001, I should have remembered, and I agree with you completely, but that was before Tom Brady became Tom Brady. We didn't know what they were building there. You know, he was a game manager. They were just hoping to stay alive. But the other ones, I mean, every year after 2001 and the Super Bowl championship that began this whole odyssey, didn't we expect they were going to win all the time anyway?
Well, that's why I don't think you've gone soft. You've just looked at what the team is now, and for the first time that they are not the Super Bowl favorite. In fact,
right.
They were the underdog in the game. So you are now opening the door to the chance of good losses. Now, you can't get in the habit of that. Now, all of a sudden, we had seven good losses. Well,
yeah.
Now you're 9-7, and you might miss the playoffs. So I think based on what we saw week one, we didn't know if this team was capable of throwing for 300 yards, let alone 400 yards, and they were able to do that. And I think some of the receivers, we didn't know if they had it in them. Cam Newton, there were still some questions because they didn't really show it off against Miami. So I think this 100% was a good loss, and it's not going
soft.
I agree
with you, by the way. It was a good loss. I came out of last night's game feeling much better about this team than I did going. I thought they were going to go out there and get slapped around.
But
the people being,
but felt even better.
But it would have felt a whole lot better. But the people who are just like, you know, oh come on, this is New England. We expect better. It's like, Okay, you have to reset when Tom Brady is no longer on the team.
Right.
And Dante Hightower and Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins and on down the line. All these guys aren't here anymore, so you could change your opinion. Plus, I think Russell Wilson is the man, and Seattle is a really good team. And so you go in there and keep it close and have a chance with 2 seconds to go to win the game. I thought that was
and
great.
And I was positive they were going to win. I was positive that Cam Newton was going to run it. And I was positive he was going to score.
And I was positive that they were going to run it with Cam Newton, and I thought that's exactly what was going to happen, what did happen on that final play. That's
you thought
why
he was going to get stopped?
That's why I was looking for
you didn't like the last play call.
I wanted a little trickeration on that last play call. Just because I know, listen,
now,
Dale,
did you tweet that before it happened? Because everybody who says they don't like the play call, as soon as it doesn't work, can look like a genius.
I was too busy chugging the last half of the can. I had a lot of beer last night.
I had a lot of really good beer last night.
You know, your home, it's your own life. Nice.
There's no kids, by the way. The kids were out of town. I was home by myself. Why wouldn't I be plowing through a series of delicious fest
be
beers?
Because
it was autumnal. Yeah. They had football in the air. I wanted a little trickeration or deceit in the final play. But I will say this, to your point about Russell Wilson being the man and playing out of his mind, definitely let Russ cook. Last week, Shime hit us with that stat. I think this is why he also wanted to bet the over in the Falcons-Cowboys game. Nice call,
winner.
Shime Adima. That not a single pass Russell Wilson threw week one was in a, what do you call it, a radius of contest or whatever that stat was.
Like, not a contest.
No. None of the passes, like every single pass he threw, somebody was literally wide
there
open.
There was not a cornerback within a yard of the receiver.
Yeah,
that got the
whereas the Patriots were on them last night, and yet he still was completing the passes.
I think to me what happens is this game, as many positives as there were, I think the offense is better than we may have anticipated. However, the defense is worse. We knew a lot of the names were changing, but we also saw, you got the reigning defensive player of the year. You got a really good secondary, and Bill finds a way to kind of coach up the front seven, if you will. Yes, you do have the excuse of Russell Wilson being great, but you're going to face Patrick Mahomes in a couple of weeks. And if you want to make a run in the playoffs, you're going to have to beat some great quarterbacks. So I think this team, believe it or not, might need more help defensively than on the offensive side.
That's a take right there.
All of our discussions has been about wide receivers. Well, I'll take a tight end. I'll take all of that stuff. But we've kind of slept on the defense not being as good as last year's defense, which, as we saw at the end of the year, wasn't all that great either.
Oh, man, now we don't get to come up with a name for the secondary today.
No, we do not. I forgot about that bit.
Actually, we are not doing that. Unless you call them burnt toast, you are not allowed to come up with a name for them.
Oh, so we call them the Nance card?
We'll call them the
Nance backfield.
Yes. The Nansendary.
Stop it.
Do not give him any encouragement for this stuff.
That ain't it.
So two of the last three regular season games, the reigning defensive player of the year has not looked all that great. You go back to the Miami game that ended last regular season, and you look at last night, and Stephon Gilmore looked somewhat mortal. Now, I'm convinced that lack of pass rush and lack of pressure on the quarterback is going to end up killing the secondary eventually.
I think it might have more to do with the size speed combo of those receivers that Gilmore has allowed big games to.
You're right. As a matter of fact,
DK Metcalf isn't. Not every receiver looks like DK Metcalf or Devontae Parker.
No,
and that might be Gilmore's Achilles heel.
But these big guys are giving him fits.
Right.
And there's a nice little piece on WEI.com right now about how Seattle even said going into the matchup, they believed Metcalf would probably get locked up with Gilmore, and they thought they had the advantage, which is pretty interesting to think that they thought they had the advantage going into that. And I think it was Tom Curran who joined us last week, last Friday, I believe.
Wednesday.
Okay, sure. Well, Friday's a new Wednesday. I don't know if you knew that.
I've heard.
Mm-hmm. So Tom Curran said last year it was 25 picks, 13 touchdowns allowed, and that he thought it was going to be a flip of the script this year. He's kind of trending in the right direction. They gave up more passing
touchdowns to receivers. Was it at no as
it was
many
the same number last night as all of last season?
So
that's not a good sign.
New segment called "So There's That."
The defense isn't as good. That's as simple as that. But also the defense last year, the stats were very misleading because the chances of you facing eight backup or third string quarterbacks right out of the chute or really young guys that weren't proven or whatever is not going to happen. I mean, look at the schedule right now. You're facing Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. You just faced Russell Wilson. There's plenty of good quarterbacks on the schedule this year. So the defense needs a little bit of a boost.
I agree with you there. And again, we thought this was a positive last night. All in all, obviously, you'd rather win than lose, all of those things. But overall, you came out of it saying, you know what? They hung with a really good team on the road, and I know there were no fans and no 12s involved and all of that stuff. But still, you had to travel. You had to go out there Friday. You basically had to be confined to your rooms or your meeting rooms until the game yesterday. You get the devastating news that one of your team captains and arguably one of the most, if not the most popular player in your locker room, lost his dad, and his mom was in critical condition. I mean, there were a bunch of things that could have been gut punches, and they found a way to kind of work their way around that stuff.
And I think sometimes it can be a little oversimplified, but the reality is in football, you really go as far as your coach-quarterback combination. Right? Yep. Like you go up and down both conferences. The best coach-quarterback combos are going to, at the very least, make the playoffs. And so going into this year, you knew you had the best coach, and there was questions surrounding the quarterback and the health, and you know, does he still have it in him? And so after back-to-back games of seeing Cam Newton do things differently, throwing the ball 44 times this week, running the ball himself 15 times the week before, being all, you know, obviously not the last play of the game withstanding, a really good goal line back, all of those things, you got to feel really good about this team overall.
Yes. After the game. Oh,
yes,
sorry.
Yes, you do. I just wanted to point out one thing, Dale, actually, as we spent time parsing over whether or not the play call was the right call. Obviously, it wasn't because Seattle blew it up at the end of the game. But whether or not that was the right call, if it was actually a bad call. It wasn't the most questionable call in the night, though, now that I think about it. The most questionable call of the night, Patriots get the ball back with
that
like
Rex
a
Burkhead trick play was right up there.
Yeah, Patriot-wise, that was definitely up there in terms of the most questionable calls. But I think the most questionable call on the night overall was what put the ball back in the hands of the
third
Patriots.
Third and one.
What in the name of Sam Hill are the Seahawks doing throwing long on third and one?
That's
whether
weird.
You've got 41 yards or 2 yards, all you needed was 2 yards to end the game. That was it. If they just decided to run.
And this is after Pete Carroll's like, yeah, we're definitely going to run the ball a lot more. Now, they did compared to the week before.
Sure.
But that was certainly an opportunity to one more run.
Very curious that they actually put it back in their hands in the first place. And this goes back into your thing, Rich. I do believe they need defense help more than they need offensive help.
Also, Al Michaels and Collinsworth, to me, were announcing that game like it was separated by like 3 scores. They did not, and I don't know, maybe it's a crowd thing for them and they got to get used to that, but just listening to them, didn't it sound like the game wasn't one possession and like the Patriots were getting the ball back and they had a chance to win?
Can we be honest?
Yeah, they're not
Al Michaels is already like taking weeks off. Like next week, Tirico gets the call.
Oh, he does.
I think it's time. I think maybe, you know, Al should probably just start getting reservations at
Spring. Collinsworth? This is embarrassing. So, we've discussed.
You can just say Collinsworth.
Okay, so you agree already. So we've been discussing how Russell Wilson, as great as he is, one of the most consistent players in the league the last however long he's been in the league, not 8-9 years. He's like the NFC version of Brady as far as regular season wins and everything else. He has never received an MVP vote. Like that's
Peter King talked about that with us last week and explained why he didn't give his last year.
And so that's become like a pretty big story, right? Because I think everybody acknowledges Russell Wilson as being this great player, and yet every year nobody gives him a vote. Chris Collinsworth has the audacity on the broadcast to say, yeah, that's my fault. And Al Michaels goes, what do you mean it's your fault? He said, well, 2 years ago, I turned in my ballot late, and so now I don't have a vote. And so this year, PFF, which he obviously sinks his money into or whatever, they said he was the best player, so I would have voted for him. So everything about that statement bothered me. So one, you watch every game, right? You're this NFL analyst. You watch every game, but you're going to have the nerdery tell you who to vote for. So who's even? Right. And then 2 years ago, it wasn't even that big of a deal enough for you to turn it in on time.
How do
like,
you?
Why?
That's
are
all you do.
That's it. Like, oh, I got it in late. What the hell?
What was he too busy doing?
And he's like, oh, that's my fault. Ha ha ha. He would have gotten at least one vote. How are you not taking it that seriously? Turn the vote in on time, and also make up your own mind. Don't just look at the computer screen and say, well, based on this formula, this is the best player. Like, did you really think he was the best player, or did just all your nerds help you out?
Can the NFL not, like, place – can the giant man
– Yeah.
You know the giant man who, like, shows up and is like, oh, you've made it to the Hall of Fame.
That guy couldn't come and get your vote?
He could.
Knock what else has he got
could,
to do?
Could, hey, Chris, yeah. who'd you vote for?
Could the mountain not show up and just be like,
Mr. Collinsworth, your vote is late.
Trial by combat.
I'm David Baker, president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
It always.
You need to sit down.
I'm David Baker. It always sounds like I've got a Five Guys burger lodged in my throat.
Well, he might. After the game, Cam Newton, Patriots quarterback, was asked about his team's resolve in last night's game.
It was something to build on, and most definitely. But, you know, I feel as if put in that situation, you know, I got to be better. That's just simple. You know, I play that play back. It's two different plays that I wish I had back, including that last one. Just execution on my part. All in all, as a team, we fought. You know, we knew what type of game it was going to be. You know, I would say hostile environment. They're still considered a hostile environment, you know, with them being so comfortable in their home stadium. But yet, through it all, you know, you just got to battle adversity. And that double digit lead in the fourth quarter, you know, we had our opportunities.
Was the other play that he'd like to have back the pass to Edelman in the end zone, do you think?
Could have been. Yeah, he didn't say there. So
he said obviously the last play, and you know, he regrets that. The other one, he said there were two plays that he regretted. I'm guessing it was the pass to Edelman in the end zone.
Or was it the interception?
Yeah, you know what? Probably the pick.
Yeah, maybe the pick, because he stared. If you watch the slow-mo replay of it, has him staring Bird down from the second he took the snap, because he wanted to get that out there real hot.
By the way, I don't know if he could have just simply ran it to the outside and scored. Like, watching that replay over and over again, I don't think it's as easy as
that's why I was saying it was a pylon play, probably. I don't think he would have been able to sashay the whole way.
Because if you look at Jakob Johnson having a block, and then he follows through on his block, kind of like...
He got blowed up.
Yeah, the guy pushed him back, and then he fell on top of him, and so Newton would have had to go around him, which would have allowed the defense to catch... Like, if they took the right angle... I don't think he gets in. I think they had that thing
played the stutter step draw that he does so well and has scored on a couple times this year. If they were insistent on running, that would have been my play, because it would have given him a chance, like Cam said, to go up over the top. Cam couldn't leap and try to get the ball just across the goal line.
So I wonder if they introduced more of that. Remember that the Tim Tebow jump pass that he did at Florida nonstop? It's outrageous, but college teams do it. You see a lot of college offenses making their way into the NFL. That might be
pro teams that get huge playoff wins against the Ravens do it sometimes. Yeah. Shime, you know, like Derrick Henry last January.
That's what it's pop pass.
A few minutes after that, Cam was asked about, in fact, that very play that I talked about, the throw to Julian Edelman.
Yeah, it was a mix of just focus and fundamentals. You know, he popped quick, and you know, I wish I had that one back along with that last play of the game and the interception. But, you know, no need to regret, you know, the type of play.
Yeah, so there you go.
Now we're up to three.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
That's absolutely fair.
Now, Dale, do they win if he gets one? Actually, yes, the answer is they do win. If he gets two of those three plays back, or just one of those particular two, all he had to do, he threw that ball to Edelman, a 5'11" human being, not even 6 feet tall, who doesn't have the longest arms in the world. Mm. He threw an absolute laser. A
laser cat.
Friggin' laser. A freaking laser, Mr. Bigglesworth. Yes. He threw a laser cat at him, and it just goes through and or off his hands right there. I don't know how Edelman makes that catch.
No.
Dial it back 5%. Bet he makes
it's one of those
catch.
Ones like in slow-mo, you're like, oh, how did he not come up with that?
In real time, it didn't look that close.
No, no, no. It goes, he threw the pretty hard.
So one of the hot topics around here has been, how would this Patriots team be if they kept their previous quarterback as opposed to the quarterback that they have now? Ryan Clark on Get Up this morning said he knows the answer.
It's not, you wouldn't never say it. It's not that this is probably better. This collection of players, Jacoby Myers, Damir Bird, N'Keal Harry, is better with Cam Newton at quarterback. Period. They are. He does more with this team than Tom Brady ever could. And that's not a knock on their careers. It's not in any way to negate Tom Brady's greatness. They needed Cam Newton. This was a match made in heaven, the same way Cam Newton said it was. It was beautiful to watch last night.
100%. Fitzy was on this a while ago. Yep. Fourier jumped on. And then right before the season, I finally changed my tune on it. Mm-hmm. And it's 100% right, because if you put Tom Brady on the team yesterday, you don't get the two rushing touchdowns that Cam had. You don't get the 47 yards rushing that Cam had. And I don't think you get the commitment to N'Keal Harry that you got. 8 catches, 72 yards on 12 targets. You're probably not getting that. Even the 2 to Ryan Izzo, I don't know if he does it. I think he probably forces the ball more to Edelman and Burkhead throughout the game. And you take away completely the element of the run. So I still think Tom Brady is a very good quarterback and is going to have a good season. But he needs weapons, if you will, more than Cam does, because Cam himself is such a dynamic weapon, even outside of throwing the ball.
It's nice to hear that people are finally coming around.
You were right. I was
wrong.
Coming
around.
You're
on my
smart.
Take.
I'm dumb.
They're
You're
coming
good looking.
Around.
I'm not attractive.
Oh, this is my.
What is this now?
This is my victory lap music.
You have a victory lap music?
Hmm?
Nice.
You got to slow mo?
Are you taking the victory lap in slow motion?
Are you doing a ribbon dance?
Pumping.
Here he goes, running around the studio.
Looks like Rob Gronkowski on the football field.
It does. You stuck Fitzy in quicksand for his victory lap.
Look, there's Fourier.
Oh, wow. I move faster than this.
He's 50 yards behind me.
He's going to catch you.
No, but listen, victory laps the day after defeat don't feel any better. I mean, I need to take it because there's no such – you don't pass up on a victory lap when given a chance.
You may never get another one.
But the fact that everyone is now finally realizing that this team is more invested because they don't have Pouty Tom – they don't have Brady dissatisfied with the talent surrounding him.
Sad
that he wanted
Tom.
Veteran leadership. We don't have the grumpiest of all time anymore, memeing his way onto the sidelines and giving us nothing in the press conferences and referring to the team as they the second he's not contractually obligated to them anymore. Yeah. Cam Newton is the best thing that could have happened for this football team. You saw it last night 100%. On the field. You've heard it all offseason long. And that's why, Dale, I'm signing this man up when we get to the bye at 3-2.
3-2. Well, let's be honest. That's 3 weeks later than Wiggy wants to do it, because Wiggy wanted to give him a lifetime contract on the plane ride home last night.
But I think again, you're going to have to pay your starting quarterback, and if not, you're going to be chasing quarterbacks, and that is not a way to win. You can't say, well, maybe Stidham next year, or maybe a guy. Like, you can't do it that way. And Cam's proven it. It's only two games, so I'm not giving it to him now. But you said the bye week. And also, I don't know the appetite of Cam Newton wanting to get a deal done before the end of the season. Like, we're looking at it kind of from the team aspect of it. I wonder for him, he's already bet on himself. Maybe he says, you know what, I'm going to have a hell of a year, and then I'm going to cash in one last time. You know, quarterback in your 30s, you're probably cashing one last time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe he wouldn't even take a deal right now.
And then Bill Belichick gets to say, like, yeah, I get to hold on to you for one more year.
I can franchise you.
Franchise tag. So then it's a 2-year $40 million deal, Dale, which is great for the Patriots, but it's in their best interest if he has this much more tread left on his tires and that much fastball on his pass to get a deal done with Cam Newton sooner than later, because you're going to tell me that next year, a year older Edelman, maybe some developed receivers. Who knows what trades they make? Are you kidding? You think if Jarrett Stidham is where he is now and improves by 50% next season,
He's not the backup on the team.
He and his wife.
Now he's going to start next year?
He and his wife are the Instagram models for healthy scratch. And you're telling me that this guy next year is going to be your starter and you're going to have a 1-year deal with Newton? Ninkovich, please. No. Sign the man. Pay him his money.
A devastating day in the National Football League from a physical perspective. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But when we come back, it's time for what happened around the National Football League, because a lot of stuff happened. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Keyshawn Johnson brings his charisma to Dale and Keefe tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Cam Newton sucks.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, we spent a lot of time talking about the Patriots' loss to the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. But right now, it's time to find out.
Hey, what happened?
In the rest of the games across the Week 2 slate in the NFL. And let's begin with the Atlanta Falcons, who are no strangers.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. They're
no strangers
immediately
to having a big lead and then, perhaps losing that lead.
Something happened in the Falcons game?
Yes, Falcons and Cowboys. Let's go to a good old onside kick.
So here we go. Dallas needs this without timeouts. Zerline, little squib. It's got to go 10 yards, and it's close.
I do believe it, because the Falcons ran away from it like it was going to poison them.
Hey, what happened? happened?
So let's make sure you understand this. It has to go 10 yards for the Cowboys to recover.
For the
Cowboys does not have to go 10 yards for the Atlanta Falcons to fall on it.
Why didn't Dan Quinn take off his headset and say, I'll spare you the trouble, Mr. Home Depot?
I'll tell
you what happened. Yeah. Is that he didn't coach his team up into the idea that they can get the ball whenever, not let it go 10 yards.
I usually poo-poo special teams because I say, listen, it's all about the offense and defense. You just don't want your special teams to screw up. Because when they do screw up, that happens. And that could have been the difference in the game. One in which Atlanta had a 20-point lead over Dallas, lost the game 40-39. Here's the aforementioned Dan Quinn after the game.
It's tough to put a loss like that in place. I told the team there has to be a lesson in the pain of that loss, and I'm sure we will work into that as we're getting into our preparation for next week, but definitely one that stings.
Yeah, it stings.
Mm-hmm.
It stings all right.
Just a tiny little bit.
I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
When that game was over, I saw the 28-3 meme about 700 times on my timeline.
Yeah, that was the same coach, right?
Yep.
Same coach. Yeah, a lot of the same players, in fact.
And he said, we're going to sort of work our way through that into the preparation next week.
Oh, yeah.
I would, A, tell your special, I'd fire the special teams coach, and B, I would get used to the fact that I am the best. Or maybe I'm actually the second best coach at blowing leads in the NFL.
Oh, he could be. Good segue. Matt Patricia.
Hey, what happened?
He seems to have his grasp on that right now. Another double-digit lead for his Detroit Lions as they were facing Aaron Jones and the Green Bay Packers.
All that motion serves a purpose. Aaron Rodgers said, we don't do that for window dressing. It's Jones. Aaron Jones to the end zone. It's another Packer touchdown.
Aaron Jones was a beast, looking like a top five running back out there as the Green Bay Packers win 42-21. Detroit now 0-2 and had nice double-digit leads in both games.
That's right. I believe Matt Patricia, who helped, I think, orchestrate one of the greatest fourth-quarter plays in the history of the league.
Heard that
somewhere. That was his call.
That was his call, right.
Yeah, that was him.
Has now, his team is the first in history to blow four straight games in which they've had double-digit leads.
I'm not looking back. We're looking forward.
He's got to go.
What happened?
How does he still have a job?
I don't know. And now in the race for the first coach to get fired, Dan Quinn's involved, Matt Patricia is involved, and you got to imagine Adam Gase of the New York Jets is involved.
Yes.
As they face the San Francisco 49ers, who lost all of their players. They went into the game without George Kittle.
And John Lynch lined up yesterday.
They lost.
Kyle Shanahan's hurt.
Now, Dale, you would think on 3rd and 31, you probably
that'd be a hard thing to convert.
You got a pretty good grasp defensively. You probably have a pretty good grasp of that. 3rd and 31.
What happened?
Space away from the end zone here. He tosses it out to Jerick McKinnon is able to find a way to break free. His nickname is Jet. He turns on the Jets to get all the way down inside the 40-yard line, and on 3rd and 31 from their own 10.
55-yard run. They got the first down and then some on 3rd and 31.
Good Lord.
Only a team responsible for the butt fumble would have to, like, shove that one down the list of, like, the worst plays in the history of their franchise. But is there a more Jets play than giving up a 55-yard run?
I don't think
on
so.
3rd and 31.
They basically were like, we're going to punt. So we're just going to toss the ball here to McKinnon. And, 55 yards. Unbelievable. But, maybe it's not because it's the New York Jets.
Now, Adam Gase is a offensive mastermind. He's no defensive guru or
not
wizard.
Not his fault, then.
He's not, right?
I'm not sure he's a mastermind or guru or smart mind of anything right
now. I could coach better than Adam Gase.
Speaking of, Chris Scheim's guy. I'll tell you what happened. Ryan Tannehill, the Tanlightenment era is upon us. And this guy is kicking ass.
Tannehill, great protection again over the middle into the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Tannehill, time again into the end zone. And it is caught for a touchdown! Tannehill, and it's caught by Smith near the goal line. He's in! Touchdown! Tannehill hit as he throws into the end zone. Humphries has it! Touchdown, Tennessee!
4 passing touchdowns for Ryan Tannehill, but they had a real close game with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are 2-0, but a 33-30 win over the Jags.
Jaguars are frisky, man.
Frisky. Frisky. They are. They're frisky.
I like that.
Roar, roar, roar.
Fits Minshew very well.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
About another fantasy-worthy day for Gardner Minshew.
Yes.
That's 2 good weeks in a row by him.
The guy's
to which
accurate.
I say, if the Jaguars, the supposed worst team in football, are the mm-hmm. guaranteed lock for Sunshine. If they're the Trevor Lawrence tank job,
I don't know.
Why do you? What? It's not. You're not losing games because of Gardner Minshew.
That's a good
would
point.
You like a great stat?
Oh, of course I would, Shine. Hey, let's go to the stat desk with Chris Shine.
Ryan Tannehill mm-hmm. in the red zone yesterday was 4 of 4 for 44 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Unbelievable. What's the guy's killing it.
And
good
what's
job,
most
Shine.
What's most amazing, thank you, Shine.
Yes.
Hey, I got a stat for you. One of the most amazing things to me, Rich, is
yes.
that Adam Gase had Ryan Tannehill in Miami and did nothing with him.
Nothing.
He's
a QB guru.
They traded him away.
Oh, he was just with Peyton Manning.
They traded him away for a Hattie B's hot chicken sandwich to Nashville. And
those
now
are really delicious.
I'm going to have chicken for lunch.
Hey, what happened?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. Tom Brady got his first win with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He threw one pass attempt to Rob Gronkowski in the game, overthrew him, and it was an interception. We all saw it. We all heard it. But did you hear it in German?
Dritte Turnover der Panthers. And Tom Brady.
Oh, das ist doch Interception. Schatz.
Und das gleich im Anschluss. Und da... Wie weit geht er? Wird das der nächste Pick Six?
Das ist doch wohl nicht sein Ernst. Tom Brady, unter Druck wirft er die heiße Kartoffel.
There you have it.
What
it sounds
happened?
Like if I was going to do the game in German, and I don't speak German, that's how it would sound. Where I would just throw in phrases. You know?
Tom Brady!
That's right.
Dale, did you know this? Because I follow NFL Deutschland, and it is easily one of my five favorite new follows.
Yeah.
Do you know what... you know, you always see that banner. It's like a player and the two logos for the teams, and it'll say, like, game day.
What does it say?
You know what game day is in German?
I can only imagine.
Game day.
Spieltag. It's my new favorite word of all time.
The new name of the segment.
Spieltag.
Spieltag.
Time for Spieltag.
Chiefs were in an absolute dogfight against the Chargers.
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. This one went to overtime, tied at 20.
You will never see this happen again the rest of your life.
Harrison Butker, the kicker with all the different shenanigans at the end of the game, had to kick a 50-plus yarder, not once, not twice, but thrice.
Oh, my goodness. One more time.
They're all gassed right now. No energy left for anybody on this field.
Oh! The kick, it's good for the win. 58 yards, Harrison Butker for the second time from long distance. And Kansas City takes it in overtime, 23-20.
So Butker has a 53-yarder to win. One of his idiot offensive linemen gets a penalty. Now it's a 58-yarder.
Mm-hmm.
He kicked the 53-yarder, but they brought it back. He kicked the 58-yarder as time is being called by the opposing coach to ice the kicker.
Right.
So now he's going to kick a 58-yarder a third time. He kicked 160-some-odd yards worth of field goal.
You want to know why, Dale?
Spieltag!
What happened?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. The big story in week two in the NFL were all of the injuries. Did you guys hear about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Ooh.
Hey, what happened?
Hurt his right ankle, left the game, did not return. Nick Mullins took over. Did you hear about Nick Bosa?
What happened?
Well, he may have blown out his ACL, could be done for the season.
We'll know more today, but it looks like he's done.
What about defensive lineman Solomon Thomas?
What happened?
Knee injury, he left the game. What about running back Raheem Mostert?
What happened?
That could be an MCL sprain there for him. More names. Did you guys hear about Saquon Barkley?
No. What happened?
Tore his ACL. Did you guys hear about Broncos quarterback Drew Locke?
What happened?
Right shoulder injury. Did you hear about Bears running back David Montgomery?
What happened?
A neck injury. What about Vikings linebacker Anthony Barr?
What happened?
That'd be a shoulder injury. Dolphins cornerback Byron Jones.
Boom. Roasted.
Groin injury.
What happened?
Packers receiver Devontae Adams.
What happened?
It's a hamstring injury.
Hammy.
Rams running back Cam Akers.
What happened?
Rib. Colts safety Malik Hooker.
What happened?
Tore his ACL. Oh, I'm sorry, his Achilles.
Yeah, blew out his Achilles.
There, we actually have a cut of that right there.
You could actually see his calf quiver.
Duh.
They did the slow motion of
disgusting.
It.
Disgusting.
It's like, ugh.
What about Colts receiver Paris Campbell?
What happened?
Carted off the field, knee injury. What about Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey?
What happened?
Injured his ankle, is now expected to miss multiple
weeks. 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh. Thank you, Sean.
51 players. 51 players were injured in NFL games yesterday.
But
not, you know, not the normal.
No.
Oh, gee, my, you know, insane. Julian Edelman. Gee, I got my bell rung. No. 51 insane. Guys, you got to get off the field.
You think they need a preseason, Dale, maybe to tune those bodies up?
I don't know. So not all these injuries would be that. Oh, did you guys hear about Cortland Sutton?
What happened?
Leg injury. And how about this? Tyrod Taylor?
What happened?
That's a little scary sound.
Pre-game chest injury, and Anthony Lynn found out that he wasn't going to play right after the coin toss, so then they had to put in Justin Herbert making his NFL debut. That goes back to the great game with Kansas City, so he actually played pretty well. Touchdown pass, touchdown run. Shime hates him, but he had a hell of a debut, and he didn't even know until 30 seconds before kickoff.
They called it a chest injury, but the more you read about it, it seemed like they were concerned about a heart issue.
Yeah, I'd be pretty concerned with
Anthony
that.
Anthony Lynn said after the game that if he's 100% healthy, that he's the starter.
No, he's not.
Your rookie actually looked pretty good, all things considered.
We're going to find out just how big of a fraud Anthony Lynn is, because you remember in the preseason, he talked about how they would give Colin Kaepernick a workout. Now, Diana Rossini reported that as they are going to work him out, which was wrong, and you got credit for that, but they weren't going to do that. Not Anthony Lynn's fault. Now, your starting quarterback goes down with a chest injury. If he's out for a long period of time, don't you have to work out Colin Kaepernick?
Yep.
Otherwise, what the hell was that about?
I have Dale, I have a very important update from a friend who's listening to the segment right now. We just learned moments ago, or at least I learned yesterday and shared, that the German word for game day is Spieltag.
Spieltag.
Yeah. This just in. Do you know what the German word for team is?
Team.
Manshaft.
No, no, it is not
Manshaft.
Manschaft.
Manshaft. I'm fairly certain we have to cut that. Yeah. I don't think we let that
It is. It's Manshaft.
I don't feel great about that.
Manshaft.
Like, it's like that TV show that won all the Emmys last night that nobody could say the name of on TV today.
Which one?
Euphoria?
No, not that one. You could say that one all you want.
Watchmen?
There's a certain creek that you're not allowed to say the name of the show for.
They swept all the comedy Emmys
last night, but you can't say that. You can't say Manshaft.
That's the name.
You can say Manshaft.
Well, the name of the TV show is something that I can't say, so.
Even though it's spelled S-C-H?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. All right, there you go. There's your week two in the NFL. Of course, Monday Night Football tonight, Saints, and next week's Patriots opponent, the Las Vegas Raiders.
We'll talk Celtics Heat Game 3 coming up at the top of the hour. When we come back, are Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills for real? It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
More of Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
Only get to trot this Earth, Wind, and Fire classic out once a year and have it mean anything. 21st of September is the day you bring it out. It was all over my Twitter feed this morning as well. Bad news for the coaches in last night's Sunday Night Football game. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, is tweeting out, the NFL is reviewing several coaches' failure to properly wear face coverings in the sideline area during Sunday's games for potential discipline, I'm told. NFL VP Troy Vincent sent a warning to clubs last week. The next step could be fines for offenders. Now, Pete just didn't give a damn. Fine me if you want. I'm not wearing the damn thing. Bill looked like he had a feed bag on.
No, Bill looked like he had something from Eyes Wide Shut on his face last night. Why couldn't Bill find a face mask that fit?
Even Nicole Kidman nudity couldn't save that movie.
He looked like a plague doctor.
It was a pretty terrible movie.
I do wonder. Yeah, no, it wasn't very good.
No, when you think Stanley Kubrick, you don't go.
You think The Shining, Moon Landing, and then 2001.
That's not that.
That's how I might go Full Metal Jacket first half.
Oh, Full Metal Jacket first half. Yeah, first half. Much better.
But
movie.
Bill's mask last night, like, it looked like one of those N95s, but he couldn't, like, a
KN95. You know what I think it was? Upside down.
Might have been.
I think it was upside down. He had an easier time diagnosing the Seattle defense than he did putting on a mask. Couldn't do the mask. The week before, great. He had the nose, mouth, everything was covered. Mm-hmm. This game, I've never seen this. Most people, when you go to the store, they got their stupid nose hanging out.
Stupid nose.
His mouth was hanging out. His nose was covered up, no problem. And you can see, like, the bottom lip.
From certain angles, it looked like he had it folded in half.
I don't understand why any of the coaches have to wear them. It makes no sense. All these guys are getting tested like crazy. None of the players are wearing them. All the players are playing a regular game. Everything's fine. There's no fans in the stands. It makes no sense, and it's just distracting. You have Matt Rhule rocking, like, the welder shield. You have Belichick with the mask just over his nose.
You got Iron Man Andy. With his huge face shield.
That's what I'm saying. And Matt Rhule had the same one, and it was hilarious because he's wearing it.
He's like 40.
Yeah. But the best was he went to argue with the ref, and he opened it up. You're like, that's like the one time maybe you should have it down. They don't need to wear them. I don't get it.
No, it doesn't make any sense, especially
and
if
they're going to continue to get fined because these guys, they don't care. They're football coaches. They're not worried about that
Pete
right now.
Pete didn't care at all.
No, they don't care. And Pete had his up, down, all around. Like, it was just a
running
on
and off the field, he'd pull it up, but it's on the sidelines. Now I'm wearing it like a turtleneck.
They should just tell him you're done with that. And Dale, get in line with the testing, and you guys are all set.
And Dale, have you ever tried to aggressively chew gum while wearing a face mask?
Not an entire pack.
Messy.
Because it appears that he's got the whole damn pack of gum in his mouth.
And I'll tell you another little trick there. Steve Belichick is great at pulling his mask down and then just ripping a huge loogie on the sideline. How many times did I see that last night?
You're not supposed to do that. Remember in baseball, they were cutting down, like, hey guys, no spitting. No spitting?
Yeah,
no
just
spitting.
Ripping a huge.
No spit. Actually, while you're out there, hold your breath.
He's got the COVID mullet going, doesn't he?
He's kind of always had it.
I think he's had that.
It seems more aggressive in the back. You know, that party in the back thing.
That could be
it
the
seems
mask.
More aggressive.
Maybe
than,
the mask
well, maybe.
Guy. He makes
could
it
be
a,
that too.
Looks a little dangerous.
Real quickly here before we get to the break and talk Celtics at the top of the hour, we mentioned Josh Allen. Now, he was playing the Miami Dolphins, okay? And let's stipulate that. But he goes 24 for 35 for 417 yards and 4 touchdowns. Is he the real deal?
Did you see what he did to Kyle Van Noy? I mentioned how Carlos Hyde might want to hang it up.
Yeah,
Kyle Van Noy might want to stay away from the facility for a while. That Josh Allen, Boogeyman tried to tackle him in the open field.
Yeah.
Did not go well. I'll spoil it for you. Kyle Van Noy was on his back. Josh Allen kept going. That's what happened. That was a quarterback.
Trucked, right?
Josh Allen, I'll tell you what.
We had a chance to go on a revenge tour.
Yeah, you might want to start with Josh Allen because he embarrassed you. Josh Allen really improved from year one to year two, and you're wondering, all right, can he make another improvement from year two to year three? And it looks like the short answer is yes. Now, he's still
700 passing yards his first 2 weeks.
Now, there was a guy last week wide open in the end zone. Mm-hmm. Nobody was in the end zone, and he threw it into the fifth row. So you still have a little bit of that to him. But what I was really surprised by was just how in sync he and Steph Diggs were yesterday. And so that's something to keep an eye on.
And there's an argument to be made if you've got a strong-armed mobile quarterback on a team that you think has talent and is worth investing in to spend a first-round pick on an elite wide receiver.
I don't feel like you're talking about the Bills anymore.
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
I might be talking about
the
Jets.
I do kind of like Josh Allen, and we'll see. Now, they had to fight and scratch and claw to beat Miami, so it's not like they went down there and just, you know, ran away, you know, blew the doors off the Dolphins. But that's it's a pretty good team and a quarterback who's definitely improving.
When we come back, the Celtics did survive Game 3. They have gotten themselves back into the series, and Gordon Hayward did make a difference. We'll talk about all that. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.